So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Now this week we were scheduled to be on the State of New York continuing the Off the Beaten Path series, but something has come up that's very, very serious, at least in my opinion. It's been getting really frustratingly serious over the past week. So I'm going to go ahead and just interject for this week and cover this topic. Yes, George, you may push the button now. I should have gotten you a kazoo instead of that recorder. Okay, so here is what I'm going to cover this week, folks. Again, you've been hearing a lot about this topic. It is the NORCs, but it's something that needs to be brought up. Most people don't realize the crisis, the potential crisis that we are facing here. Now, there are probably a few listeners on this show that remember back to the time of Vietnam, possibly Korea. I suspect, though, that most of you are a lot younger. You may remember Desert Storm. Probably definitely remember the Gulf War, the second one. But there are a lot of similarities here to what we saw during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I think this potential crisis that we're facing with North Korea right now is actually ramping up to be the second missile crisis. Instead of dealing with Cuba and Russia, we are now dealing with North Koreans and potentially the Chinese. And we need someone in office that's going to be strong enough to make the same decisions that John F. Kennedy made during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I am very confident that Donald Trump is the person to do that. Barack Obama certainly wasn't. Bill Clinton wasn't, and Hillary Clinton certainly would not be. We're very fortunate to have Donald Trump in the office of White House at this point in time as we face this continuing crisis. Now, China has weighed in and stated that whoever makes the first move will not get their support. They will support whoever does not make the first move. So basically, this is like going back to when you were a kid and your mother always said, "Don't throw the first punch, let them hit you first." Yeah, and break your nose or knock out a couple teeth in the process. Sometimes you need to make a preemptive strike. Now, that fat little kid with the bad haircut has been making some very serious threats. Whether he intends to follow through with them or not, I don't know. I think he is crazy enough that he actually believes what's coming out of his mouth, and that makes him potentially extremely dangerous. More so than just some typical madman like Gaddafi. I mean, Gaddafi pretty much learned his lesson when Ronald Reagan went in and bombed the crap out of his house and killed a couple of his kids. He got the message and he backed off. And in fact, later on, I'm not going to say he became our ally. He was far from being our ally. But his position became amicable towards us, and he was actually trying to turn the country around when civil war broke out and his own people killed him. And this is something that we may actually see play out again, this time in North Korea. If Donald Trump backs Kim Jong-un down, he will be disgraced in his own eyes, and probably in the eyes of all the people who are too terrified to do anything about it at this point in time. And in all likelihood, at that point, they will take him out themselves and save us the problem of trying to figure something out. But it's still going to take some sort of action by Trump to show that he is not going to back down and that this guy does not intimidate him. Now, the thing that we were dealing with during the Cuban Missile Crisis that makes us a little bit different is that Russia wanted to deploy missiles to Cuba. At this time, the Chinese are not trying to deploy missiles to North Korea. North Korea is doing this on its own. It's just that its big brother happens to be Mother China. Or would that be Big Mother? Big Sister? Either way. The Chinese don't really want to see a reunified Korea, particularly if it's the South that's victorious. They benefit from having a little bit of a buffer zone. Not a whole lot, but it gives them a little extra peace of mind. The Chinese, however, are not stupid, even though that they have come out and said directly that they will support whoever does not make the first move. If we decide to take preemptive action against North Korea, and we essentially wipe it off the face of the map, not the country itself, but all of its strategic places where it's got its batteries set up. We need to go and we need to take those out first. Take out everything that we possibly can within a matter of minutes to avoid them launching all that stuff towards Seoul. Once that's done, then come in with the heavy stuff and take out the big targets. We know where he is. Drop a bunker buster on top of him. Take him out. If we did that, I really don't think the Chinese would suddenly declare war against us. And I'll tell you why. As much as China likes to parade around like a proud peacock, proclaiming itself to have the strongest valued currency in the world and have the strongest economy in the world, China is nothing without the United States. It owns most of our debt. And most of the goods that are exported come here. If we were to go to war with China, they would, first of all, lose anything that they were holding as far as a marker for debts. That would be gone. They would lose trillions of dollars. And secondly, they would lose many, many more trillions of dollars in the exports. China's economy would tank overnight if China went to war with the United States. So I really don't think that it really matters here whoever makes the first move. I don't think China is going to intervene. The China of today is not the China of the Korean War. It is a completely different country, and it relies on us too much to take us on and potentially try to destroy us. I believe that Donald Trump is fully aware of this, being the very intelligent businessman that he is, and he knows full well the Chinese aren't going to do anything, which is why he's not backing down and why he's taking on this stance with them that everybody else seems to think is so horribly wrong and misguided. I do not believe it is horribly wrong, nor do I believe it's misguided. The Chinese know full well they are not going to do anything. Now, what are we looking at if the Norks decide to launch? What is the threat? At this point, we don't honestly know. All we know is that the Norks have said that sometime in mid-August, they intend to launch 4 missiles at Guam. Now, do they intend to hit Guam itself? I don't think so. I think their intention is to drop them just outside of the 12-mile zone and stand there with their tongues sticking out and their fingers in their ears going, na 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 na. However, I don't believe that their guidance systems are that accurate, and it is entirely possible they may actually overshoot their target. Now, China has said that unless the bombs or the missiles land on U.S. soil, that doesn't qualify. So technically, if it lands in the water, even within the 12-mile zone, that's not U.S. soil. However, we're splitting hairs. That comes down to Bill Clinton saying it depends upon what the definition of is. Is U.S. soil strictly dry land, or is U.S. soil within those water boundaries? Personally, I feel it's within the water boundaries. And if those missiles, even one of them, lands just inside, that we are then justified to take retaliatory action. And believe me, folks, Trump is ready. He is ready to do something about Kim Jong-un. Now, there is another possibility. Last month or the month before, it's about 6 weeks ago now, one of their missiles blew up on the launch pad, and the theory was the U.S. had hacked their computer guidance system and had detonated the missile on the launch pad to give him a warning. Look, dude, we can do this if you push us. I don't think he listened to the message. Here's something else that we could do. We could actually take over the guidance of those missiles and have one of them go a little too far and maybe land a half a mile inland in a marsh somewhere where it won't do any damage, but technically it has attacked U.S. soil, and we would then have every right and every reason to take retaliatory measures. So don't rule that one out, folks. It'll be interesting to see how this plans out and just who does take the first step and what happens. Now, as of yet, those missiles have not been launched. He promised that 4 would as of the time that I'm recording this, because I will not be around to do this show live this week. I'm recording it on Monday morning. As of Monday morning, nothing has transpired. In the next 2-3 days, something may, I don't know. At this point, I'm merely going on what I am seeing. And what I am seeing, at least from our side, is very encouraging. We have a president that's taken a strong stance to protect this country, which is something we have not had since Ronald Reagan. We did have it a little bit with Bush and the first Gulf War, and Bush number 2 with 9/11, but that was all contrived, so that really doesn't count. They weren't protecting us. Reagan was the last strong president that took measures to protect the United States of America by actively going after Muammar Gaddafi. Now, if you can think of another one, because I have been corrected before, please refresh my memory, and I will apologize next week on the show for that. But at least in my opinion, I don't think that we have actually taken active measures like this since Libya. Now, there's something else to keep in mind here, folks, because in my opinion, I feel that any launch in our direction, whether it's intended to land 15 miles out or 15 miles inland, is still a direct attack against the United States of America. Let us go back in time slightly to our dealings with the Soviet Union during the Cold War. If the Soviet Union had launched 4 missiles in our direction, do you think we would wait until they landed to see where they landed and whether they were nuclear tipped or not? I think not. We would launch the same number of missiles back at them. I foresee the same thing happening here with North Korea. If they actively launch missiles in our direction with the threats that he's been making about miniaturizing nuclear warheads to be able to tip these missiles with them, I think that it is very reasonable and very prudent to first of all do our best to blast them out of the sky, and then second of all, launch a missile strike in retaliation. Not only is that fair and just, that should be expected. Someone launches at you, you launch back at them. That's how war works, folks. And let's face it, this guy wants war. And technically, we are still at war with North Korea. We signed a ceasefire, but we never officially ended the war. Now, this guy is just stupid enough and just crazy enough to think that Trump is talking out his rear end, and that's giving him a boastful confidence. And I think the only thing that he is going to understand is violence. Just like ISIS, you cannot reason with these people. You cannot deal with them in the way that you would deal with normal people. You cannot negotiate. They're not there to negotiate. They're there to dominate. So it'll be very interesting to see what transpires here in the next few weeks and possibly months. Because Trump has already stated that by a certain time this fall, and honestly the date escapes me at this point, that he is ready to take preemptive action to keep this from going any further. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Do I think this will lead to a third world war? No, I do not. This kind of thing has happened before. Countries have battled it out. They've settled it. If we didn't go to nuclear war over the Cuban Missile Crisis, I seriously doubt we're going to over North Korea. The Russians aren't that stupid, and I seriously doubt the Chinese are as well for reasons already stated. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to finish up the second half talking about the rise of white nationalism, what's been going on around the country recently, particularly over the past few days in Charlottesville, Virginia, where people are now starting to take to the streets with a White Lives Matter attitude. And it'll be interesting to discuss this and look at it, because I have told you for as long as I've been doing this show, which I think is coming up on 3 years now, if not already 3 years, that this kind of a thing was going to happen, and I explained why. For those of you who don't remember, I will rehash the whole thing, bring you up to date, and remind you of what has happened, why it's happened, and where it's going. I'll be back in a couple, folks.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown Law Professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so let's go over what happened recently in Charlottesville, Virginia. As we know, our side began with a peaceful protest, which was, of course, met with opposition from Antifa. I don't know, is it Antifa? Antifa? I don't know. You know what I think we should do? We should form our own that has the same pronunciation, just with one more consonant in there. We should call ours Antifag, because that's what most of these people are. They're left-wing liberals. They're rainbow pushers. They're fag lovers, they're Jews, they're sympathizers with those who wish to suppress the white population. Now, I have been saying for years that at one point, enough would be enough, and we would stand up and take this nation back. All it needed was a catalyst. There are a lot of people that will jump on the bandwagon once it gets rolling. Very few are willing to actually stick their neck out and begin to push that wagon in the first place. Well, what happened, folks, was Donald J. Trump was elected to the office of President of the United States. Donald Trump takes crap from no one. Whether it was intentional or not, and I really don't believe it was, he was the catalyst that people are now railing behind. Unwittingly, Donald Trump began pushing the bandwagon. People are now jumping on board and riding it. I've said for years it was only a matter of time before we started doing the same thing back to our enemies that they have been doing to us. When they do it, it's called violence. When our side does it, it's called terrorism. Well, folks, you can't have it both ways. If you're going to call their side violence, you need to call our side violence, political violence. If you're going to call our side terrorists, you need to call their side terrorists too. Call a spade what it is, a spade. People are sick and tired of these people protesting us, and now more and more people are coming out with pro-white rallies and demonstrations. And folks, contrary to what the media is telling you, this is not a limited movement. This is growing by leaps and bounds because people have been seething for years over what's been happening to us, particularly the working white male. People are fed up with it. They're tired. And the general consensus, if you talk to someone, air quotes, off the record, they feel the exact same way. They may be afraid to come out and say in public or on camera or on the radio, but in public, behind closed doors, I suspect the number of Americans who support the alt-right are many, many times higher than what the media would have you believe. They're doing their best to talk it down. Now, we know from the past that any time the media poo-poos something and says, oh, it's not a threat, these numbers are overinflated, we know the exact opposite is true. The numbers are highly underinflated. And most people feel that way. Most people are sick and tired of illegal immigrants coming into this country and taking their jobs away from them. They're sick and tired of laws that mandate that a company hire people who can't do the damn job simply because of the color of their skin. It's wrong. It's wrong, folks. I know it, and you know it. And the rest of the country is finally starting to catch on to this. The anger is growing. The resentment is growing. The pendulum has swung so far to the left it can no longer maintain its momentum, and it is now swinging back to the right. You will continue to see pro-white rallies and marches. You will continue to see people standing up for their race and their heritage. The time is finally upon us, folks, and it's been a long damn time in coming. Now, do I feel bad for this Heather chick that got run down? Maybe a little bit, but by the same token, she should have never been there in the first place. I am tired of these protesters coming in to protest our events. Very rarely do we protest theirs, but they're always there to protest us and run their mouths and cause trouble. Well, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and unfortunately, she found out that this happens. I remember this a long time ago at a place called Kent State, where some kids were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Two of them were official protesters, and two just happened to be passing through. Unfortunately, they were gunned down with the two who actually deserved it. Maybe this Heather chick deserved it, maybe she didn't. I don't know. But what comes out of this, there was no gun violence. And right now, the left is seething because they cannot blame this on the Second Amendment, and they cannot use this as ammunition, pardon the pun, to further their cause against banning firearms. Because, well, maybe we learned a trick from ISIS here, folks. Maybe we've learned that there are other deadly weapons out there that can be used to do even more damage than firearms. And once again, this proves what I have been saying for years. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. It doesn't matter what the weapon is. It's the person wielding it. If you can't have a gun, you'll use a knife. If you can't get a knife, you'll make a shank. If you can't get a shank and you want to take out a lot of people, you use a car. You hijack a truck. This is how this happens. And this now is what's going to become the norm in this country. As more and more people get fed up with everything that's been going on, they're tired of guns being blamed for violence. I think you're going to start to see vehicles being used here just like they are in Europe. My two cents, that is the way that I interpret the current events, and that is what I foresee coming down the pike. I think what happened in Charlottesville was an eye-opening scenario for a lot of people. And I think it's what's on its way to come in the very near future. The tide is turning, my friends. Just as Japan said after they bombed Pearl Harbor and the United States declared war on Japan, I am afraid that we have awakened a sleeping giant. Well, folks, the liberals, progressives, the Democrats, the socialists, the communists, the Bernie Sanders of this country, the Marxists, have finally awakened a sleeping giant that rests within the soul of the white man and woman of this nation, the people who founded this country. This country cannot exist in its form without us. The sleeping giant has awakened, and we are going to take this country back. I'm out of time for this week, folks. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.